So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. Today with me I have Dave Carroll, who is a social media and customer service and customer advocacy legend, I would proffer. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Adrian. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. Dave, tell us a little bit about you and the stuff that you do, and then we'll go on to what you've done with, you know, with social media and particularly to do with customer service and things, if that's okay.
Sure. Do you mean the backstory on United Breaks Guitars or since then?
Well, I mean, almost just a little bit of a context about yourself. I mean, and, you know, where you're from and where, where you're from, yeah. what you primarily do. And then, you know, then we can get into this of the United story, if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Dave Carroll and I'm a Canadian living in Halifax, Nova Scotia, but originally from a town called Timmins, Ontario,
okay,
which is a bit north of Toronto. And I've been a professional singer-songwriter and an independent Canadian musician for over 20 years. And I had the bad experience with United Airlines back in 2008, which resulted in United Breaks Guitars, a music video about my bad customer service experience, which I launched on July of 2009, and that changed my life in many, many ways since then.
I mean, I don't know if people will know this, but what I'll do is I'll include the video and things in the post. But the United, it'd be really interesting for you to tell us a little bit more about the United Airlines, your United Airlines experience, and then what happened, what you did afterwards, and then subsequent impact of that, if that's okay.
Sure. So in March 31st, 2008, I was flying with United Airlines with my brother Don and the band Sons of Maxwell. Mm-hmm. And we had a one-week tour in Nebraska. And we landed in Chicago to deplane, and there was a woman that was sitting across the aisle in one row back from me who looked outside the window and, not knowing that we were musicians, cried out, "Oh my God, they're throwing guitars outside." And so we were alarmed by this, and it turned out that that was the beginning of a roughly a 9-month customer service maze that I entered with United Airlines, trying to get them to take responsibility for what ended up being the damage to just my guitar, my Taylor 710 guitar that was very important to me.
Yeah.
And they declared that ultimately their policy stated that they weren't responsible for the damage to my guitar because I didn't open a claim within 24 hours. And the matter was basically closed. And so that left me with two options, which were to do nothing or to do something else. And I decided the something else should be a trilogy of songs sharing my bad customer service experience with the world in YouTube music videos.
Yeah.
And the first of those was launched on July 6, 2009. And my goal was to try and get 1 million hits with all three videos combined in 1 year. And that first video, which cost me $150, thanks to the donated efforts of everybody involved, my friends in the film and music business, the first video went viral, and in only 4 days it reached 1 million, and today sits at approaching 13 million hits.
I mean, it's an amazing story of what I would call customer advocacy, and how that can move large organizations to actually take action, but it shows the power of a single committed and determined voice to try and not necessarily to, because I think that what the interesting thing about the songs and the campaigns is it's not aggressive, it's just chronicling what happened. Is that right?
Yeah, each just artistically speaking, I wanted the whole trilogy to work artistically.
Yes.
And so I wanted the first song just to basically tell the story and state the facts. And I'll be the first to admit that the video is wildly exaggerated, but the lyrics are actually very accurate.
Sure.
And the second song was more of a focused look at how Miss Erlwig, the customer service rep who ultimately said that they would go no further, and I could have been best buddies if it weren't for the policies keeping us apart. So in that video, you see her and I in a picnic having three-legged races and all the things we'd do if we were good buddies.
Excellent. So in the but in the sleeve notes for the book, it says that United, on the back of United Breaks Guitar, the first video, when it started to go viral and hit 1 million views and then kept going, that United's stock went down by 10% and it sort of lost about $180 million in value. Is that when particularly United started to pay attention?
United actually paid attention sooner. That report I saw for the first time in September of 2009, so it was a couple of months after
Okay.
the video had gone viral. But United did reach out on the fourth day, on the same day it hit 1 million views. We did talk on the telephone, and at that point they said it was regretful what happened, and I take that as being guarded language. As saying I'm sorry, at least in the United States, implies responsibility, while saying it's regretful just implies regret. And so they didn't say I'm sorry. They said it's regretful, and we'd like to offer you $1,200 in flight vouchers, which is what I had asked for 9 months earlier, and they said would never happen, and $1,200 in cash. And they didn't say it was contingent upon me taking the video down, but they just put those two offers together. And I turned them down because I said that these videos weren't a negotiation tactic to try and get compensation. I had accepted that the compensation was off the table, and these videos would be my response to and a promise to the promise they made that I would get nothing.
Right.
So we never really talked about compensation again. But to their credit, they did give $3,500 to the Thelonious Monk Jazz School in my name. A decision that was their own, and so some student would benefit from that.
How do you think United changed as a result of this, do you think?
I'm not so sure that they did, and that's one of the criticisms I think they faced as a company. This hasn't become a mainstream story in so many presentations around the world just because the video has a lot of hits. It has to do with the way they reacted and embraced social media, or more correctly to say, they didn't embrace social media.
Right.
And there are people that have, I think there's over 400 books that have talked about United Breaks Guitars in one way or another, and it really has as much to do with what they didn't do properly than what I did correctly with the video.
Yeah, because I mean, it seems to me that you're talking about, they talked about things being regretful and things, and that sounds like lawyer speak to me. And actually, I guess one of the things I'm really interested in and I write about and think about on the blog is how businesses become sort of more human, as it were. And it seems to me that there was an opportunity missed when they didn't just apologize and say, look, well, we're sorry, this is unfortunate and things. And I think that's been shown in recent weeks when, you know, Apple, I think it's Tim Cook, came out and said, look, with the Apple Maps application, came out and said, we messed up. We try and do really, really good stuff, but we're sorry. Now we'll just try harder. Do you think that was a missed opportunity by United?
Absolutely. I find, social media gaffes and the need to recover are similar to if you were just on the personal level, if you were out with people in a public place and you got something on your face, some food or something like that, and people were laughing at you. The best way to get people to stop laughing is to first wipe it off and then laugh at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So United's job, I think, to deflect some of this criticism would definitely have been, first of all, to engage in social media and enter the conversation rather than go with the traditional press releases that they were doing, trying to deflect attention away from what they did poorly and just treating their customers very simply by saying, look at all the good things we do.
Sure.
And then the next thing they should have done is give a sincere and authentic apology.
Yeah.
And then actually engage and say, this is where we messed up, this is where we need to do better, and these are the things that we are going to do thanks to the video. And then that would have taken some of the steam out of the feeling from the millions of people around the world who were taking this video as their personal victory in customer service.
Yeah, so I mean, so it seems to be there's two elements here. There's the impact of social media, and then there's customer service. And it many people are lauding customer service and a business's ability to deliver great services being a leading competitive advantage. I mean, do you think that social media is fueling that, or is it that something is changing around us that says actually we want to be treated better as human beings?
I see that one of the big lessons for United Breaks Guitars for me has been that we all have a fundamental connection with each other. And it's not just something that we say or aspire to, that you and I, everyone in the world, we really are connected at some level. And that social media, we say that it connects us, but it really doesn't. I think social media only allows us to experience this connection that already exists. And so I don't see a division between the customer and the company. I see it all as one holistic piece. And the relevant companies for tomorrow, I think, are going to see their customers as part of their entire brand. And,
right.
And customer service not being just one silo or one department. Customer service will be ingrained as a culture and a mindset throughout the whole organization that starts from how you treat the secretary and at the front office to the people who design the products, who sell them, and who service them afterwards. And that's how we're going to go with that. And it'll be fueled by the fact that the consumer has a voice that they never had before, and they will gravitate towards people who exceed or at least meet their expectations for the product.
Yeah, because it seems that traditionally we've built businesses when what they feel like is almost like we've built a business and we've built castle walls around our business.
Yes.
And not allowed anybody in, but it feels like we're actually, with all the technology and also the rising of our social nature, as it were, is like we feel like from both inside and outside companies, we want to pull those walls down. We want things to be a bit more transparent. We want people to be able to see inside, but also to be able to see outside too. And that's going to be hard for many businesses that are set up in that more traditional way.
Well, I do, as you know, I do speaking now literally all over the world. And one of the messages that I bring is this idea of connectedness. And it is a complete mindset shift to think of social media as an opportunity, as opposed to what the media will have told people that my story is about confrontation and one side coming against the other. But it really, to me, is a story of opportunity. And the companies that I think want to be relevant tomorrow are going to have to understand that social media is here to stay, and that customers have a voice that they never had before. And most of all, I just saw a stat the other day that 88% of customers are likely to go somewhere else or not do business with you again if they feel that they've been ignored following a complaint. And so you really have to reach out to your customers and give them great customer service, because it means profit to your company. And further to that, though, by the companies that really love social media and get behind it are actually crowdsourcing innovations to their product, because they're asking the people who are going to buy them what they want and how it can be better. And they're often finding that people are coming up with better ideas than their engineering and marketing and design R&D teams have come up with.
Sure. So, I mean, now social media and all of these sort of changes, it's been around for a while, and there's been a lot of talk about it, a lot of different examples of people and companies going through big changes and you know, a lot of startups making lots of different ways. But if you're a more traditional firm and you say, look, I recognize that we need to change, but we're more traditionally organized and oriented and things, and I say as an executive, I'm struggling to understand where I should start.
Yeah.
If I was to say to you, in your conversations that you've had with many people around the world with different executives, what would be the one place that you would say, if you're going to start somewhere, start by doing this?
Okay. Well, yeah. So I would say that probably having an open mind is the first thing that you'd want to do. And instead of having a defensive outlook on social media as how do I defend against my customers attacking my brand, start looking at other companies who are doing it well and are experiencing good results, both big and small companies, because they're everywhere. And start just changing your perception will change who suddenly you'll find people that can answer things for you that you would not have noticed because you would have been focused on something else. So just changing your perspective is the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting involved. If you don't have any social media tools with your company now, get involved. Start with a Twitter and a Facebook account. And most importantly, use them, because simply opening a Facebook page or a Twitter account and not using it is worse than not having one at all, I think. And start experimenting. Find there are a lot of companies that service companies of all sizes and get you accustomed to what social media can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't cost that much. I've started a company with my partner Richard Hugh called Gripevine.com, which is it's a social media platform If you're a company that you worry about how do you find out what people are saying about you and that sort of thing, Grapevine's one example that does that exact thing. It connects, it allows people to go to our site, lodge a complaint, and we send it to the companies in question. So if you were one of these companies, you would be notified someone is saying something about you, and you can directly converse with them offline and solve problems before they get out of hand. So tools like ours and other social media tools are popping up all the time to make your life easier as a company.
Fantastic. I mean, and you tell a lot, you go into a lot more detail on all of this in the new book, United Breaks Guitar, The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media. I mean, it sounds like your world and your life has changed markedly since the publishing of the experience with United Breaks Guitar. So you're now a musician, you're now entrepreneur, you're now speaker and storyteller and advocate and all of those different things. I mean, your life it seems to have changed markedly over the last sort of 3-4 years.
It sure has. I mean, I was an independent singer-songwriter writing songs for myself and working that way. And now I do all those things. I guess the speaking is completely new. I haven't done any of that before United Breaks Guitars, and I find I really like it. I find it. I approach speaking the same way I did a music gig.
Uh-huh.
Look at the audience as people there that are there to experience something, and I try and take them on a bit of a journey where they can feel things along the way and find truths in the messages and make it entertaining. And that comes with its own challenges, and there's some similarities there, but I really like that.
Uh-huh.
And the book has been I've never written a book either, and that was a nice experience. So I'm really blessed with all the opportunities that have come my way. And I think part of the reason that all this has happened is because of the non-confrontational approach I used for the video. And I embraced this idea that we are all connected. And if I wrote a song that had a universal truth in it, that it would cut through language and cultural and geographic barriers and reach people with the same message that we can all identify with. And if I did one smart thing in all of this experience, that was it.
That's fantastic. So what next for Dave Carroll?
Well, I've been very busy in the last 3 years with all the things I've been doing, so I haven't been as busy as a songwriter, but I have been plugging away at writing songs along the way, and I've finished a new CD that is being released this Saturday in Halifax, and it's already up on iTunes. So, and none of these songs have anything to do with customer service.
You're back to your roots.
And I continue to speak. I'm going to Barcelona in a couple of weeks and possibly South Africa and Argentina and back to Russia throughout the year. So the traveling seems to be still going to be very busy. And I love all the opportunities.
That's fantastic. I mean, I think you may have, I mean, I'm just interested in conscious of time as well, but I always like to finish these interviews on one specific question. I think you may have just preempted it, but I'll ask you the question anyway. And that question is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Mm.
You can have more than one if you like.
Okay, well, that's different. my new CD is Raincoat in Vegas. As I said, it has 11 songs that have nothing to do with customer service on there. And although I did write a song, the last song on the CD is one of my favorites, and that came about partially through my grandmother's involvement in United Breaks Guitar Song 2, where she did a cameo and ended up getting a movie role as an extra in a movie because of it. And she's a British woman who passed away of cancer not long after I wrote the song, and thanks to United Breaks Guitars and that sort of thing, this song came to be, and I got to present it to her just before she passed away, which is one of the highlights, I guess, in the story is.
Well, what a fantastic story.
Yeah.
And obviously, we want to plug the book as well.
Yep, United Breaks Guitars, The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media. And I also like to let people know that I do speaking, and I like to travel all over the world to do it. And,
do you travel with your guitar still?
I do, but I keep it close.
Very good. But Dave, thank you very much for sparing a few minutes with us just to share a bit of your story and to tell us about what you're up to and some of the lessons that you've learned and the stories that you're telling and what you're advocating to different people around the world through your music and also through your speaking and your writing and your entrepreneurial efforts. I think that's, you know, it's fabulous. It's a fabulous story. And what I'll do is I'll write all this up and we'll record it and edit it, and I'll link it all up in the post, and I'll let you know when it goes live.
Thanks a lot, Adrian. I appreciate the good questions.
Fantastic. Well, listen, you have a great day, and I'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.